the future does not exist.
Hello, dear earlobes. It's been a while. This is The Future Does Not Exist, a podcast about, do we remember? About memory of sorts, of things, of whatever we decide. But it's a new year.
Yeah.
We're new people, aren't we?
Yeah.
Mm. We've got new microphone cushions.
We have.
Yes, we have.
Marcella's treating us. And yes. We're even in a new room.
Oh,
we are.
Which is a little, slightly uncomfortable, I have to say.
What?
Well, I feel uncomfortable because I'm not in our usual spot. And I was comfy in our usual spot.
You used to like hiding behind the pillow.
I mean, we're only about 30 metres away, probably less.
I know.
But my comfy cushion has now turned into a microphone cushion and I don't feel as relaxed.
Aw, poor you.
But hey, you've got to deal with what life throws at you, don't you?
Yes, new year, new changes.
New year, new changes. Welcome all.
Hello, Damien.
I'm Damien, you are...
I'm Richard.
And you are...
I'm Marcel.
Yes, yeah. And that's us.
Yeah, and yes. We've got a big bowl of little mini stroke waffles.
I'm going to eat one now, please excuse me.
They're just great. They're giving me a really big sugar high, so if I sound a bit mad for the first 10 minutes, that's the reason.
You can blame the biscuits.
Blame all biscuits. Biscuits are bad. Don't forget that, kids. So, anyway, what are we going to talk about today, apart from my new book?
I want to know why I didn't get the memo about wearing a hat.
No, it's just... Yeah, because Marcel is now wearing a corduroy hat, and because mine is a corduroy sailor cap.
Why did I not get a corduroy hat memo?
No. It was just chance, twofold. It was just one of those moments where we came in, and I thought, God, Marcel's got the same kind of hat on.
Yeah,
oh, he's wearing a baseball cap, and you're feeling a bit left out now. Shall I take mine off?
No, it's okay.
We've all got
a sentimental bag of records.
I do. Yeah, sentimental in the money that I've just given somebody to get hold of them.
Mm. Yeah, talking about.
I had a bit of time miss today because I came in early for once, and
I had
a little mooch around Leiden, and apparently they've got a whole new market that looks exactly the same as the old market.
Yeah, it moved around a bit.
Yeah, I think they've moved some stalls.
Well, they said they were going to move the fish stall, and they didn't.
No, well, they have.
Have they? But one of them
by about one stall.
Yeah.
All right.
They had to.
Yeah. Was like, that has to go.
Yeah.
So so the town is absolutely chocker. But I decided to escape into the place of the best escape place possible, which is a record shop. And then I came out slightly heavier than I went in.
Yeah.
How many did you cut?
I actually can't remember, but probably 4 or 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I want to shout out now to Fire Records, who sent me a New Year's package of 25 LPs.
Ooh.
And I'm sincerely grateful to all at Fire Records for completing my Jane Weaver collection, which is now absolutely fantastic.
I got the new Franz Ferdinand record.
Is it? Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I've just reviewed the new Rats and Rats record, actually. We can talk about that if you want.
Ooh,
which is brilliant.
Well, I think we can move into Rats in a minute because there's something on the table, Richard.
Yeah, yes. There is.
It's
my new book.
It's what?
No, it's not. It's something that I came in and I looked at and I thought, I wanted to show off my new book because I've got it, you know, my new book, the one I've got in my hand, my new book. But then I came in.
Yes.
And I can't believe he got a record. It's called Birdwatch. And it's got binoculars. There's a huge screaming gull on the front, the kind of thing that invades my nightmares. I have a thing about gulls. But it says, get your binoculars by the bird shits with seagull Sandy.
Yes.
What
did
the hell?
Did you see the track list?
Oh my God, get your binoculars. That's a dove. Freaky feathers. Bird shit. He pooped on my car. I don't like that word, poops. He just did it. Shat. He shat on my car. Picking the tree. Wow, that's a lot of noise. Special bonus track. That bird is crazy. And on the back, it looks like what I suggest is a raven. There's a quote which says, music is totally what makes life worth living. Can I open it up?
No.
No.
You're not allowed it. And you can't buy it.
Oh.
It's part of the imaginary record store.
I'm really disappointed now.
Yes.
It's so annoying that's not real.
Explain the imaginary record store.
Yes. The imaginary record store is a record store with records that physically exist. But if you put it on a record label or a record player, it will not give you what you expect. It's right. The feeling that you get when you're in a vintage or a secondhand shop and you see a record and you're like, I don't even care what it looks like, what it sounds like. I love the cover.
I really want that.
And these are made one of a kind covers by artists who are definitely not musicians. And we use this as an exposition.
When did
first
that
time was
stop?
During Peel Slowly, and we will continue adding more records to the thing.
I really want someone to make that Birdwatch record.
This, this Outsider record just has one quote on the back. It says, scam music.
What's this one? Lake of Arkinshire. This must be the place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ignite the engine, City Lights, Boulevard Cruising. Ah, that sounds a bit boring. That sounds kind of middle of the road kind of stuff to me. Never mind. You got tapes as well, haven't you? I forgot.
We got this one.
BBC cassette, Mindful Violence.
Do you know who it is?
Wealthy Hodcarrier found dead in bed. It looks like, isn't that...
Does it remind you of somebody?
A bit.
A London dude? You know his son?
Ah, Mr. Harrison. Yes. It looks like Ian. Yes, now you mentioned it. He's got a cap on as well.
Yes.
Mindful Violence.
It's an Ian...
Execution.
It's an official Ian Hayer Harrison cassette.
Torture. Monster and animals, creaking doors and grave digging. Ah, this sounds my kind of thing. I wouldn't mind listening to... I've got a record with a cover just like that, actually.
Yeah.
From the 1960s, yeah. But it's by a steeplejack who went into comedy and he was... It's just like the most horrible record because it's just, you know, not exactly, wouldn't pass the census today, let's put it that way.
I'm holding Baba Yaga, Baba Yaga, Baba Yaga, Baba Yaga.
Yes.
Baba Yaga is actually one of my favourite little folk creature things. Yeah. And there's a description of Baba Yaga on the back of this. It says, the enigmatic witch of Slavic folklore is a figure both feared and revered, like yourself, Richard. Dwelling in a hut on chicken legs deep within the forest, she is known for her unpredictable nature and wisdom. And blah, 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 there's lots of blab. But what I like is the track list is essentially like telling you the story. So the kids, into the woods, the crone, marked for death, the town folk, creepy crawlers, the witching hour, otherworldly, pick your poison. Please don't scream.
Oh my word.
It's a dramatic ending.
It's a dramatic ending, that one.
Yes. And this works so good on an audio podcast. Nobody has any clue what we're looking at.
No,
but and of course no one would have any idea what we were going to not listen to either.
The Birdwatch cover is amazing.
I know.
I mean, it is absolutely amazing. We've got to make a poster of that.
Yeah, I know you were. I know you would be excited about it.
Oh.
Are you still plagued by seagulls like you used to be when you
were
in Leiden?
No. The ones we used to get them really badly in when we were living on the Heringsteeg in Leiden, which is right in the middle of town. Though they are moving in. Lesser black-backed gulls are now sort of circulating in the Oostgeest area.
Yeah, but you live in a posh area.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is...
They don't have garbage cans that open.
But they've got these like flat roofs where we are now. So it's like absolute classic seagull turn nesting territory. They think it's cliffs.
Yeah, do you have neighbours that feed them?
Yeah. Divs. They are divs. Why do you do that? And why do you feed a young seagull?
Have you not seagull? Like, spoken, raised your voice to them like... Don't do this.
Someone actually went ahead and put a letter in the lift about the young gulls. Do not feed the young gulls, you fools, because they'll come back. And they are, let's say, rapacious animals, gulls. You don't mess with them. And these are the small ones. If you've got a great black back, they eat lambs. I don't want to go near those things. But yeah, they're moving in, but they're not as bad as they used to be when they were living on the Heringsteeg. Because in June, you couldn't go out. You'd have to actually have an umbrella to put up to keep the things away.
The worst about that living there is I remember waking up on your floor, your living room floor, about 40 minutes after I felt like I'd gone to sleep.
Yeah.
Because
you
decided to get up.
Yeah.
But there was this just almighty noise outside and we couldn't figure out what it was, and it turned out to be seagulls mating. It was like,
oh, they're really loud.
It was like really horrendous. They're like, what is this? What's going on? And Richard hasn't put a record on yet. What's happening?
That wasn't one of my records.
Oh.
And it's probably the most unappetizing noise, apart from the time an owl ate a hedgehog on our roof, which was pretty
crunchy.
No, it did. It just, oh, just like a crunching now, but attended by death screams of a hedgehog, which is pretty horrible. And the friend bits a hedgehog outside the door the next day.
It's so, like spitting like spines at people.
Well, bits of spine. Sorry. Sorry for my...
talk with your mouth full. What would your mother say?
Oh, she'd kill me. Sorry for this absolutely awful radio, but you know, you don't want to know about the death of a hedgehog while I'm eating a stroke waffle. But, well, you just found out. Anyway, so there you go.
Do you want to tell us a bit more about the document that's on the table?
My book. Mm, yes. My book, yeah. I do. I'm sorry to keep talking.
It's the second time I've led into it. I'm not doing it third.
You had your chance.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise.
Easy, yeah, easy to distract it.
It's in my hand. 276 pages of me talking about the past. 8 stories. Cover design by Sev Gitan, my good friend and colleague at Worm in Rotterdam. Brought out on Alltech Press, comes out on the 14th of February. Mm-hmm. I can't do better than read the blurb, actually. So where have all the ravers gone? Following his debut, Flower Factory, Richard Foster presents a new batch of psychedelicized autofictive fairy tales from the Netherlands. The Punk Rock Birdwatching Club introduces a diverse cast of voices from addicts to grandmothers who narrate 8 short stories dealing with the major social changes that the country underwent during the mid-noughties. And I had some really nice quotes. One from the great Richard Millward, the writer of Apple's 10 Story Love Song and Man Eating Typewriter, and Richard is going to be reading at my do in London, and he's a Middlesbrough lad, he's a postman living in South London. A magnificent collection, like a bouquet of condolence flowers for the casualties of late capitalism, Foster's stories brilliantly capture the alienation and gratification of hard graft in the 21st century with total authenticity and a total sensitivity. Taking us on a pushbike derive around the lowlands or chasing the next fleeting high with a motley cast of wreckheads. These are some of the most entertaining, elegant stories I've read about for various ways people struggle and strive to make work work for them. Which is like, for Richard Millward, is like manna. Mm. One thing I have to say now, Damien, is that do you remember the fella who used to go home on the bus, on the top of the bus, or did?
Yes.
You told us about. He's made it into this.
Oh, my God.
In another form. I mean, obviously, no one has ever really... I mean, there are people you'll recognise, for sure, or there's bits of people you'll recognise. That's probably a better way of putting it, but that is in there. So when you're sat there with my little beady brain, which went, good. Now that is good to put in. So I'm pretty happy with it. I mean, I say that, but I am pretty happy. He's got a load of nice illustrations in, which I sort of did.
But you're holding it now.
Yeah.
Mm. How can other people hold it?
How can other people hold it? Well, you know what? It's in bloody Brune. And it declared...
But now, can I run to the Brune and get it?
It's up what the Dutch foppers you call, up voorhard. So I actually took a photograph of it because I just couldn't believe it. There it is. Up voorhard. And it's expensive in Brune. It's 1995.
I think it's probably expensive everywhere.
Mm. Yeah, but not if you come to the Do. Not if you come on the 8th of March to the Varkendahan. Because we're going to have, between the sort of rugby, because there's rugby on, I think if we start about 3:30, 4 o'clock, just before the Scottish game.
Your book reading is in between the rugby.
Pretty much, yeah. Hilarious, isn't it? So.
How to clear the rugby crowd out.
It's going to be beautiful. One of the most beautiful moments in Leiden's history. But I do know that Koike will probably be selling the book at the Do. Right. And I'm going to be doing for a little discount there as well. And I'll be selling a few ES&S next week. A little discount, doing a reading upstairs at Old Kelly's.
Okay.
Imagine that. So do come down. That's Friday afternoon, about 4 o'clock. So again, come down if you want to come.
And for our international listeners?
I'll be in London on the 22nd of February. I'm on stage with Rats and Rafts reading one of the stories to a live backing from the band. So I'm sort of, they are, they're going to support themselves backing me. How mad is that?
God, that takes me back a long way.
That's going to be, if you, well, we can talk about that in a minute, that crazy night. And then on the 24th, I'll be at the Social Club in London, Andrew Weatherall's old club, with Richard Millward, Wally van Middendorp doing a little turn, being interviewed by Laura Snipes of The Guardian. Mm-hmm. So it's all like going off. And it's €6 in, all money goes to Centrepoint Charity for the homeless. So any sort of costs, any sort of ticket fees will be going to charity. Six of His Majesty's pounds will be helping people get off the street. So
not only that, but all three of us will be there.
Yes.
And it's amazing. I'm really, and Mad Welsh Eddie, and... and loads of other people who are going to be shocked. I mean, it's going to be this absolute mix of bohemian types, my mates from Accrington and Gateshead, some you two from the Netherlands, and lots of writer and musician types.
Oh my God.
And Wally van Middendorp again, ruining it by talking about his dog, probably. Or bringing his dog, I think, this time, maybe. We might meet Wally's dog, so...
Anointing himself with oils.
Yeah. I hope he just doesn't talk about giraffes with big penises like he did when we had to do once. That was quite something.
He probably has stories about birds as well.
Yeah, I without doubt. So that's going to be the thing. And then they're going to be a beer day on the 16th of March at Vorhout, with a special punk rock bird watching beer. And again, a gig with Niels Duffus, me reading... Nothing too big. One in Den Haag, one in Zaandam, probably one in Amsterdam. There's about four or five other things, and then I'm going to the UK for about four or five things, I think, on the bench. So I'm actually going to be a lot. I might be doing a sabbatical this year.
It's a book tour.
That's a proper book tour.
Not
like the first one, but like actually proper mad stuff.
He's actually got to do some work for it.
I know.
Nice.
I also find it like quite funny that we're all going to London to watch our friends Rats on Rats play, and he's going to be on stage as well. It's like,
it's wild.
Why do we have to?
Did you get tickets for that? My God. All right. Okay. So it's going to be really funny because they were just going, why do you want some old get talking at the front? And I said, I bet you I'll sell some tickets because I'm doing it. And now I found out about four or five people are going specifically.
Well, we bought before we knew you were going to be on stage. To be
crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that's a relief. So yeah, that's going to be a nice gig. Talking to Rats, I just heard the new record. So I mean, anyway, that's enough of me.
Yeah.
But I'm really happy with the book. It looks really nice. The stories are great, I think. I've only found one typo, which of course there had to be one after you've printed it.
Did you realise there was a topical release because there's one story that's about like Robbie Williams being hot?
I know, I just couldn't believe that.
And then now we have this Robbie Williams monkey film.
I'm absolutely out of nowhere. Absolutely amazed by that. These are the things that always really freak you out when you see it. Because it was just, that actually was a statement that was, I remember going to a shop and I mentioned this in the story, the character, which is actually me. It's the most me of the stories. Where this guy wouldn't serve Mariska because he was in this close, it was Mariska's birthday and was supposed to be like getting to something. And this guy's just watching the telly and I'm just thinking, are you going to serve it? And I was just doing that whole English thing of like making sort of pointed stares at the people rather than just going, hey, stop messing about, go and serve her. Rather than just going, ahem, ahem. And he turned around to me and just went, yeah, Robbie. And it was Robbie Williams on the telly. This was 2005, four, something like that. Yeah, and it was just, yeah, Robbie Williams is hot right now. And I just thought, you utter prick. And it just stuck with me. So that's why it became the title.
Did you always say, like, yeah, I listen to the bastard five times a day at work.
Yeah, well, I mean, literally, that's in the
yeah.
But it's also another one of my moans about radio in factories. But yeah, I'm pretty pleased about it. But most of all, I'm really happy about going over to do the Rats thing because that is, like, I sent them a tape and they said, oh, we've made a backing thing for it. So we're going to do it live, which is going to be wild.
And where is that show?
That is at Two Palms in Hackney on the 27th. Is that a Saturday? Yeah, the Saturday the 22nd. Yeah, Two Palms is, yeah, it's a bit sort of northwest London, northeast London, isn't it? Hackney Marshes way. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know.
Well, come along.
One
and all.
One and
there's
all.
There's only about five of you listening, I would imagine.
Cool. It'll be fun. See. So there you go. And that reminded me of, you reminded me of something that...
But you did.
That I did. with Rats and Ross before, because we did this at the Sub 71 in 2013, was it? 14?
Could be.
Oh, I don't know. Everything between 2005 and like 21 is like 1 year. My mind's just kind of gone. There's a bit.
It was the 10th anniversary, but I don't know whether it was when we took over. So it probably was 2014, I think.
Ah, okay.
But if it was the 10th anniversary, then it was 2014.
Yeah, so it was sort of September, October 2014.
Yeah.
And
that was when we did Rock and Roll Bingo.
We did everything. It was one of the, in the Sadly Miss Vevey and the Sadly Miss Sub 71, where we did Rock and Roll Bingo, and Wally gave away a really rare factory record to someone who had no interest in it at all.
Yeah.
And that record is going for something like 200-300 euros. And I think the person who got it sort of just threw it away. We had a really funny time, went over, Rats and Roughs played, and I think I was doing some stupid crap.
You were basically doing a spoken word thing whilst they
jammed
behind you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Was that the same night?
Yeah.
I can't remember it being the same night, but it might well have been.
Yeah.
But I've got a feeling it was, you know.
If it was that night, that was also the night that I ended up walking the streets with Nick, as in Kath and Nick, singing White Lines.
Yeah, it must have been the same, because Kath and Nick and Jim Watson, yes, now of London-centric, on Want of the Guardian came as well.
But we thought we were going to, well, I can't remember what pub we went to afterwards, because we'd been to Sub and then we went somewhere else.
We did go somewhere else, but I can't remember that bit.
And it wasn't back to the Vevey, but we were walking through
the Scomola.
And we were singing. And no, because there was a bouncer on the door and the bouncer wouldn't let us in. And at first we thought he was kicking us out, but he wanted us to finish the song. He was enjoying our rendition so much. He was like, now you can come in.
I wonder if it was the one across from what was the Museum van Oudheden. What's that little pub on the corner called? Do you know where next to the pizza? That can't have been there. I can't remember.
Anyway, maybe it was somewhere in the middle of town. Anyway.
Yeah.
That was a fun night, yeah. I nearly died. I got away with it. That was one of my lives used up, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
you almost got in a fight because you were pulling out cords from a mixer.
Oh, yeah.
The man whose equipment it was, I had to spend quite a significant portion of that evening calming him down.
Yes.
And telling him, it will be okay. Trust me, I won't let him touch anything. And then you put your head through the ceiling. At which point I was like, he just came over and he went, he never touched this. He never touched this. Like, it's okay. It's okay. It won't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried back through the cord.
And then you fell on your back and I actually thought you died.
Yeah.
I thought it was like instant hospital job.
Yeah. But he didn't.
No. You just bounced. No,
just bounced. Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy night. Good fun. All round. You had a great time.
Quite interesting when you put your head through a ceiling tile though.
I do remember that.
Oh my word. No wonder the sub went. Anyway, so that was fun. What else did it with Rats? Because Rats played quite a lot. It's so funny to think that they played so many times in squat and small gigs.
And one time in a fancy museum.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, Marcel. I'm
not sure if you were there. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Marcel's Moms of Glory.
Yes, we sneaked in. I think it was organized by...
It was Museumnacht, toch?
No, it was Kunst en Kennis.
Ah, okay.
And it was done by, from Groningen. The production team was from Groningen.
Yeah, that's right. No, it was all part of that whole thing that they do up there, isn't it? Like the Nacht and Kunst en Kennis.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And we ended up organizing a night at the what is now called Wereldmuseum.
Mm-hmm.
And they put us all the way in the back. We put up a program of Rats on Rafts, Dokkumer Lokaaltje,
mm-hmm.
and I think something else.
Julie Mittens,
of course. Mm-hmm. When we started the sound check, within 5 minutes there was somebody from the museum panicking. Like, there's some glass cases downstairs. they are shaking. Mm-hmm. Could you please stop? And I was like, that's going to be a bit difficult. But mm-hmm. could you turn down the bass? And like, not really, because it's an amp.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the drum. We can try to tell the drummer to be a bit more relaxed, but I'm not sure if that's going to help.
No.
And the fun thing is then, like, oh, I'll get our technical guy to show up. And then the technical guy from the museum showed up and he was like, hey, it's Marcel. Hey. Then it must be fine. Don't worry.
I do remember that night because there was so, every band was so loud, and there was yes. There was also these people being shown around, and they were doing this kind of, like, you know, shh, we'll go around the museum, we'll do it quietly. And then just all hell breaks loose.
Yes.
And I do remember some really posh people getting really angry, trying to kick off. And two of them had bottles, and I said, you can do what you want, mate, but you've brought a bottle into the museum. And if you go downstairs, you'll be thrown out. So shut your mouth. And off they went. It was a beautiful moment because they couldn't do anything because they were yes. walking around.
It was a glorious night for rock and roll.
Mm. It was. I do remember everything did shake. I mean, it really was that kind of,
yeah.
oh my God, you know, the cabinets in the other room were shaking. It yeah. was mental.
Nothing broke down. And
nothing broke
down. It went pretty fine.
Yeah. I don't know how many people went. I bet there's about 20 people watching.
It wasn't that crowded.
No.
You had to take a long, long walk through the museum to get there. But it was nice. I still have a sign.
Yeah. Because like it's so difficult, the back end of it, you don't really see. You just see this sort of thing. But it's massive at the back. Because it's also a
massive
big
location.
Big storefront thing as well. Big store for a lot of the exhibits.
The funny thing is, if you walked out, there was a back door there. And if you walked out the back door, you came to the fence that's in the alley towards the port.
Mm.
But it was so funny.
Mm. Yeah,
the panic in the on the faces of the people from the museum was like, why did we agree to do this?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think they ever did it again.
No, they didn't. No, that was the first and last yes. edition. But that was a great Rats on Rossmill, weren't we? Had. They first played the Sub. Yes, where they first, I think Nick from Subroutine first saw them and decided to sign them.
Definitely.
That was a case of me sort of saying, you've got to come and see this band. And then he did and thought, we've got to have them.
Yep.
They also played the Alleyway at the Vey Vey on the old yes. one, which yep. was on King's yep. Night, what was then Queen's Night, which is a lot, you know, above, it was on this sort of raised platform above mm-hmm. the alley, which is amazing. I still think they had a really great photograph of that. That was packed. That was a really good show, that. I think they played...
They played our gig at the pad.
Yeah.
They also did a recording session in the Cubus.
Of course,
with a legendary sound guy.
The legendary Rob.
A shirtless sound guy.
Oh, he took his shirt off, yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Because it was hot.
Mm. It was hot. And he needed
the music was hot.
He needed sort of something out, and his shirt came off. Oh my God. that was quite a sight.
Yes.
So I remember they played the Cubus. Yeah, they played pretty much every venue in Leiden, pretty
I think
much.
They did, yeah.
I'm sure they played some, there's another gig that's escaping me for now, but they did do an awful lot around them.
Yeah.
And then, I don't think they really, I think the show was Joris's last, one of the last shows he did, they did as a drummer for Rats, the Kunst and Kennis night, actually.
I think so, yeah.
So it was very much a case of, after that, I can't remember, yeah, then they went into sort of hibernation for a bit and then came back again.
Yeah.
But that was like sort of, yeah, they had a very long history with us and also with the city of Leiden, actually, probably more so than any other city.
Yeah. Probably. I'm with you closer than anyone.
Yeah. Crazy enough, isn't it? Yeah. I remember checking you to the first time. Do you remember? It was Delft, Utrecht. Wasn't it? Oh, no, was it Utrecht or Delft?
Utrecht.
Okay. Mm. And I remember, you're right, it was Utrecht. And I remember going to them and you're going, yeah, you always say this. And then you were just going, oh my God, they're amazing.
I was like,
they're
the best band on the planet, come on.
Yeah. It was really, they really were something.
But you mentioned like how loud it was. Who's the loudest you've ever seen on stage? I know mine instantly.
I've got a story.
The loudest band I have seen, it was an American band called White Mice. They played Sub. They came in, looked at our PA system, and they said, like, yeah, not sure. Mm-hmm. So they brought in their own PA system. There were two guys dressed up as mice. I had a connection with a guy from Haribo, and I had a case of white mice for them.
Well, you've got a connection with a guy from Haribo, and I don't know about this.
That was,
if anything ever sounded like a drug relationship, that was it.
Yeah, and I got them a huge cardboard case of white mice, and they were like, "This is the most amazing thing in the world."
Did the noise melt them?
No. But they had to take them on a tour, and they weren't sure if they were going to finish them before they had to return to the US.
Oh my God.
But they definitely did know that they were not going to be able to import them back into the US.
No, they're nice.
Because
those
they probably
mice.
Were too chemical for that.
Mm. Oh, not enough chemicals.
But they were loud.
Yeah.
They were doing all the renovation on the outside of the building of the sub also. And they blasted away like a huge machine that was there, like, and they were like, they tried to mimic and go above that sound. Yeah. It was incredible.
Mm-hmm. And that's
I think
amazing.
It started with a full sub.
Mm.
And I think only two or three people saw the end of the show.
Yeah.
Because everybody, like, I can stand outside and also hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen a bunch of, let's say, like, noise bands and metal bands and rock bands. And like, I don't think, God, that's loud. Nothing has ever come close to the second time I saw George Clinton at the Paradiso.
Really?
I was pretty much deaf for 3 days. It was the loudest thing I've ever... I was, like, pretty close to the front to start with. But it was also, like, his vocal... So first time I saw him, I mean, the first time was incredible. It's one of the best gigs I've ever been.
Yeah.
Started at 8:30. He came on stage at 11:15. So everyone was kind of leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And he came on stage at the band had been on since 8:30.
Yeah.
And then they finished at 2:45 in the morning. And that was exhausting. Second time it was like an hour and a half. And they were like, obviously there's no going past 11 o'clock tonight. But he was just essentially barking into the microphone, like proper, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was like this, doo, 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 like just constant. And I literally couldn't hear for like 3 days afterwards.
Oh my
I was
gosh.
Like, I don't think I'm getting it back. I honestly thought I was like, that's it. Mm. I'm ruined. But George Clinton completely like,
oh.
I had to, one of the few gigs I've ever had to like, I need to get out of here and like need to go to the back of the room because this is hurting.
Mm.
This is like physically hurting like me.
I've had a couple. Yeah, I mean, the talking about was at Paradiso is when I went to see Sunno. I mean, that's an obvious answer, but Sunno, it's not the story I want to tell, but just to mention that, it was just, you know, it was just maelstrom of noise. This is about 2007, 6 or something like that when they played the Paradiso. I think it's about then.
Mm-hmm.
So I went downstairs to take a leak and I thought, wow, there was some really nice ambient music in the toilets. Maybe it's just like to balance it. I realised it was Sunno, but it sounded really nice. Then you heard actually how they sound, you know. But the story I want to tell is definitely one of Leiden where I've been out one night. This is 2002.
Mm-hmm.
2003 maybe, and I'd been out and it was like Saturday afternoon and I had a massive hangover and I thought, oh, I'll just go to bed in the Heerden Steeg, which is, if you know Leiden, it's right next to the Peterskirk and it's not that far away from the market. And as I was drifting off, I heard like a massive kind of explosive noise. I thought, oh my God, something's blown up. Like, oh shit. I got myself together, then ran out. I thought, like, what's going on? I could hear this noise. And I'm thinking, like, this is like an explosion. I'm going to check out. But it was the Julie Mittens playing on the Kornbrug, on that nice ornamental bridge during a poetry festival.
They were actually not called Julie Mittens doing that performance. They were called Bombardamento.
Okay, Bombardamento. Well, yeah, they did that because all I saw is a load of elderly poetry fans running away, like literally going, oh my God, what's this noise? And they cleared it. I think they were on for about 10 minutes or something like that.
Yeah,
then they stopped. Yeah. And I got there, it's like, wow. And Auntie Anne's going, it was nice. It was a nice gig. It's just like everyone else is just like traumatized.
And if you walk towards to the city now, you can see that it's still... had its effect of it because they are renovating that whole bridge now, and it's probably caused by that
that
performance.
Bang.
So it's like single-handedly kind of with, like, yeah, with people we know are responsible for basically destroying half of Leiden's cultural spot. Yeah.
Yes, which is interesting, as Michel is an
architect, well, an archaeologist as well, isn't he?
Yes, he's focused on wood.
Mm. Yeah. So there you go. So that was, yes. I think that's the most, I mean, outside of the standard stuff that you see, that's the most remarkable noise thing I think I've seen in this country for sure. Yeah, gigs. I mean, how many gigs? I mean, we've got so many, we could make a new podcast about gigs we've seen in the Netherlands, yes, like over the last.
Gigs anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, the next one
we usually look at the past and stuff. Mm. Is there anything you look forward now that's on your agenda already?
Well, for this year.
Yeah. The only thing I have booked in, mm-hmm, outside of your
stuff,
which doesn't feel like that's like, I can't really say that's something to look forward to.
No.
I've got me and like the Manics are touring again, so I'm going to see them in May.
Okay.
There's a few things that I'm kind of looking at, but I haven't booked anything in particular. If I can get a bloody Sam Fender ticket, I want to go to that.
Yeah.
But like, I got one of those wonderful emails that said, hey, Sam Fender tickets on sale tomorrow, and they were already sold out. So I was like, how does this work?
Where's that playing? Where's your plan?
In Arfas.
Oh, right.
But yeah. I'd travel anywhere. So like friends of mine, I've got tickets for them in St. James's, which would be like, be great.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, you know, you're going to have to remortgage your house to get one of those tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably.
So, I would love to see that fella. Mm-hmm. I missed the Franz Ferdinand announcement that they are coming.
Yeah.
So it might have to
ring him up.
Get in touch and say, hello, boys. But they are also playing a festival in June, I think.
Yeah.
And on the Friday, and it's only the Friday I'm interested in, it's Franz and the Manics on the same day.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's a nice gig.
Yes.
Wow.
So I think we should have to have words.
Yeah, I think we should have words. All right, I'll see what I can do. Well, we'll both have a crack at that. Yeah.
And yourself, Marcel, anything on your radar?
I have this thing in March, this festival, what I'm looking forward to.
Which is a great lineup. I have to say, it's the best lineup I think you've had.
I'm very excited about the lineup.
Yeah, James Holden. I mean, you don't argue with that.
James Holden, other Polish stuff. Yeah. I sort of can say that.
Go on.
We have our special guest from Eindhoven coming.
Ah.
He's going to perform probably one of the loudest things during Peel Slowly. His band is called Zolom. It's loud, it's electronic, it's punk.
Amazing.
People will be annoyed with it.
This is the loud episode, isn't it?
It is.
Yes.
James Holden isn't quiet either. So I'm Chupa Chupa playing as well, aren't they? They're a great band.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. Their singer is a nutcase. I love Into Pieces.
They're all lovely. Lovely people.
Yeah.
Yes. Other stuff, Los Piranhas, it's going to be nice.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a nice addition.
It's a nice addition. And James Holden's playing with Vasho Simpler. So it's a really good setup.
It's going to be a very, I'm very excited already.
And
I'm not excited about all the stuff that needs to be done to get it all going.
No, who is? But also we should mention that when my book is launched, we're going to give away 2 tickets and a book at the book launch for Peel Slowly. So you're the Peel Slowly ticket if you win at the bingo, and you can win the book as well. So it's quite a nice little prize, is that? Yes. So,
but you have to start practicing on doing bird sounds.
What, me?
No, the people in the crowd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've got to
We're not going to say what when we're going to use it, but practice on bird sounds.
All right. I'll do that.
Okay. Fucking hell. 2 plugs and some homework. What?
Fabulous.
Fabulous episode.
Dear. Yeah.
I've got a few things lined up, actually. There's a few... tonight I'm going to... Well, being the 11th of January, there's a really nice gig by a really great organisation called Charnel Ground, which is like, it's noise, but it's also sound. So you have really quiet things, really loud things.
I think it depends on who you ask.
It's noise and sound.
Yeah, man.
But no melody.
There's no melody.
I wish to see noise and sound.
Yes.
So I'm there, man. So that's tonight. There's this whole There's a few nice gigs at Worm. There's Nederlands Naiviteit, I'll be at ESNS doing
that's also nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
I'm not sure I'm still recovered from that day in Zaandam, to be fair.
Can you imagine that again? We took Damien to Zaandam.
Yes.
Yeah.
But oh my God, it was a collection of the strangest.
Well, it was old fashioned Netherlands, wasn't it? It was old fashioned Dutch kind of underground music. Yes. And
you went to Zaandam and all you got was noisy music.
Mm. And you got a child dressed up as a skeleton.
What I got.
Yes.
And aerobics.
You got kids aerobics. Nice.
From Jaco.
Okay, oh, yeah. That
and
could
he
be
split his shorts.
Exciting yes. stuff.
Whilst bending over, whilst doing his greatest kind of 1980s aerobics instructor impersonation.
Talking about last night, I had a really weird dream. Do you know what happened, right?
I do not know what happened in your dream, Richard, no.
No.
So
I'm strapping him.
Well, yes. Yeah, because I was having a shit in a fart. <What? laughs> I'm waiting for this. I'm in the middle of the bloody farm courtyard, and when my bollocks fell out, right, and it just like I looked at it, I thought, I don't need that one, and then they regrew into like two fresh new bollocks, and I was like, wow, that's great. And then all of a sudden, all these chickens tried to eat the old one.
Okay.
Just like a bit of woke up. What was that about?
I don't know.
I'm not sure where we go from here and there.
Yeah, sorry about that.
All right.
But anyway, what were we talking about before I started mentioning the meatballs?
You put some imagery in my head now. Which
I mean, it was just weird, man. Honestly, it was like
I can agree, it was weird.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I think we all can agree on that.
Yeah. So if anyone knows about dreams and that, can you tell us? Because I don't really want to look it up.
Why you're having a shit and losing a bollock.
Yeah, because it looked like a massive, like a bag of onions, and all of a sudden one fell out, right? And then,
what
I was like,
what did you do yesterday?
Like a school spot. Back.
Before you, what did you do before you go to bed?
Well, I went for a meal with my good friend Paul Overdyke at the printing cabinet with Mariska. So it was all very nice, and we had a nice time. Moderate drinking with water next to the wine. I was really well behaved.
Moderate drinking?
Yeah. No, there's no cheese.
No cheese? You and Paul were out and there was no cheese involved.
We didn't have any cheese.
Because Paul is responsible for one of the greatest lines I've ever heard anybody in my presence like mention.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think I should placate them with cheese?
What was that one again?
It was Haarfeer.
Oh my God.
You know, your exhibition.
Oh yeah.
Which was all to do with imaginary records.
It was imaginary. Yes, that's right,
And you had all the records up and everyone was kind of getting a bit, and Headley and Hag were playing.
Yeah, yeah.
What was their band called?
I've forgotten.
Fiery
No, it wasn't Fiery Furnaces, I can promise you that.
It was something, it was an F anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Polaroids.
I was totally wrong. That's the fire thing is the one he did after that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Knew there was somewhere. Polaroids were playing, but you were getting, as you do, getting into a nervous state.
Yeah.
Kind of running around, and then everyone was kind of milling around, kind of waiting for everything to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You were in panic mode, and then Paul started getting in a panic mode because he was just absorbing Richard's energy. And then he decided that he needed to calm everyone down. He said, "Do you think I should placate them with cheese?" And I just burst out laughing and thought it was
beautiful.
Just the most incredible, like, little few words put together I'd ever heard uttered out of anybody.
Amazing, Paul. It was great. So, that's what happened. It wasn't really mad stuff or anything like that.
Okay,
but, there we go. We have to have a think
I've
about it.
I've got a new game.
Go on.
Yeah. It's not a board game or anything.
No.
I can see the terror on Richard's face when I mentioned that. No, when I was at home, I was on the metro.
Yeah.
Stand clear of the doors, please.
Yeah.
And there was a sign on the side of the line.
Yeah.
And it's... And I just thought, God, that would make a cool band name.
Yeah, go on.
And now I've decided to, like, just try and collect signs that could be band names. And it's quite fun.
As in physically?
No, just, like, when you see one, just note it down.
Yeah, okay.
And I've got two or three in England that we've got. But the one that was on the metro was Limit of Strut.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Isn't that a fantastic band name?
Limit of Strut.
Yes.
Hello, we are Limit of Strut. And then it'd be just like god awful sound and noise.
They
would make sound and noise, wouldn't they?
So I think you should, because I don't have anything to plug.
No.
So I think basically for when you come down to the social or to Rich's launch in Leiden, you should bring signs that could be band names, and we can have a list of them.
Limit of
should
strut.
They bring physical sign? They bring it to the venue.
It has to. Well, that would be just bonus points.
It won't be bonus points.
If you bring the sign and it's don't worth get arrested, a chortle, yeah. I will buy you a drink.
Okay. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Okay,
but if you see one,
yeah,
and you think, oh, that would be a good name.
Yeah, but I think they need to bring it.
Mm.
Because otherwise you can just...
Well, even photographic evidence of one would be good.
Yeah, but physical would be better.
I'm not advocating people stealing road signs.
And giving them to Damien.
But
we are. We are not. I know. We are now. Okay, I'm just absolving myself of this.
Yeah, we are, and we blame you.
Yeah. There's also a place on the A68 as you go towards... go past Castleside and up towards... as if you're going towards Corbridge and Hexham. And it's called Wallish Walls.
I think I've seen that, Wallish Walls. Yeah, it's crazy.
Good name, isn't it?
There used to be in when you're going towards Todmorden, there was down through the valleys through Hebden Bridge, Todmorden, all that kind of thing. When you were going towards Halifax from Burnley, there used to be
West Yorkshire.
I know. Well, it's sort of debated territory.
Almost Lancashire.
Yeah, almost. It's almost Lancashire. There used to be a firm there called Murgatroyds of Marthamroyd. Yes. And that was just like Murgatroyds of Marthamroyd. And how Marthamroyd is not spelled as you say, it's not phonetically, doesn't follow.
No. Oh.
There's lots of places around there that do not sound like how they are written.
No. Very weird. It's a nice place, but like at the same time, weird. But Murgatroyds of Marthamroyd.
What's that place in Manchester? Bessie of the Barn or something?
Bessie of the Barn, yeah.
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 But it's not written like that.
No.
Probably not.
It's like written in ancient English or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's very weird.
No.
There you go.
But there's another brilliant sign. I think my favourite sign I've ever seen, and I have a photograph of this. My friend took a photo of it and made a poster of it for me as a birthday card once. But I used to see it all the time when I used to get the bus to Manchester, and you need to go through Oldham.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The green cloud.
Yeah.
But Oldham has like a bridge. I don't think it's there anymore.
No,
the bridge is there, but
overpass thing. Yeah.
The sign is painted on the bridge, but there was an advertisement on there, mm-hmm. and it was like Oldham's claim to fame, and it just said, "Welcome to Oldham, the home of the Tubular Bandit." Nice. So I had that on. You can't get better than that.
No, you can't. It's difficult to beat that. There was
I probably have a bus sign from Sunderland. Does it count?
Mm-hmm.
As funny.
Yes, go on. If you tell us what it is.
No, a bus sign.
Oh, okay.
In Sunderland. Does it...
Oh, you mean you actually... Oh, they got them now, have they?
Yes.
Did it have...
instantly offend any... Did it have any Mackems?
Did it have a horse in front of it? You know, I've been drawn by one.
There is a horse there, but it's very... It's
the only one they've got.
It's a statue.
All right, okay. Yeah, Sunderland. How was it? Actually, how was...
the North.
So how did you enjoy Newcastle and Sunderland?
It was cold.
Yeah. Well,
there's another one. On the A1, it says Newcastle and the North.
And the North, yeah.
That's a good band name.
It is a good
Newcastle
band name.
Newcastle and the North.
Newcastle and the North, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. But Sunderland was nice. Uh-huh. It was also in a category noise and sound.
This is Boundaries Festival we're talking about.
This is Boundaries Festivals. I think I probably have 10 minutes of melody there and the rest was like... Noise.
Sounds like Graham.
Noise and sounds.
Only Graham. Only. Yeah. I mean, who? The guy.
That would probably be the slogan for the festival. Noise and
noise
sounds.
And sound. He should do that. That's really cool. Grassy, if you're listening, you know what you got to do now. It's Boundaries Festival. Noise and sound.
That all comes back to Leiden too.
That
the
all
guy
comes
who
back to Leiden.
Yeah. He used to live here.
He did, and was in the VV all the time. And the last time we saw him in the VV, he was having a bit of a hard. Well, hard time isn't the right word. I think he was just absolutely off his head. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then he moved away, came back. We saw him, what was it, last year he came back to Leiden?
He came to the festival.
Came to the festival, yeah. That's right. God, yeah.
But his festival in Sunderland is the reason to go to Sunderland.
Yeah, I think it's actually one of the best festivals in the UK.
Yes. I would say an excuse to visit Sunderland, that would be the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Boundaries Festival is amazing. Really, really good. Do you think what else we're going to do for 2025? I mean, apart from the book stuff, but like, I've got a few gigs lined up. It's also 20 years since the Haldern bulb throwing incident. 20 years, 2000.
One of the greatest days ever.
It was a crazy night, that, wasn't it? This is the tent in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
You broke a rib.
Yeah. Oh, there's just, I mean, where to start? That entire day, it was nuts, wasn't it?
And that's a whole separate podcast.
It is a separate podcast, but
there's too much involved in that.
There is, but the Bull Bright of Haldane, it's 20 years this August. I did I tell you I started going back? I'm doing a feature for The Quietest, so I went back to Haldane Village. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it every, so I did spring, you know, I did summer and I've done autumn, so I've got to go in spring and winter. Mm-hmm. And it was really weird when I went back in November because Bone Ingham played in the pub, right? And it's really foggy and you just like the entire place just disappeared, right? Mm. And Stefan said, where does the bus stop? You know, because we got as far as, what do you call it? What's that town called where everything stops?
Emmerich,
that's it. So I got off at Emmerich.
Everything stops.
No, seriously, yeah.
We can't get to Haldane, we mm-hmm. can't get out.
Yeah, because I'll come and get you. So yeah. Stefan drove down, Stefan Reichmann, who runs Haldane Festival, and instantly got in the car, started telling me about why Jeff Bezos hasn't got the statues they've got in this area, and he's got some amazing statues that tell a real story. And then we went to a shed and looked at these huge, huge chrome plated statues.
These metal things, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And then I realized, of course, it's Haldane. This is what the hell is going on. It's just how these things are. And then Bone Ingham played in a pub to about 40 farmers.
Oh.
And that was just amazing. But the fog, the church completely disappeared in the middle of it because it was so foggy. Yeah. It was really, really something. You should go to Haldane. You should definitely go. Yeah. Even just for a day. I mean, it's amazing. It's just to go to the place. It's really cool. The pop bar is amazing. It's a really nice place to have a gig. The people there are like, I mean, Marcy, you really get on with all
the
people.
Yeah, no,
there.
But the problem was that there was something.
Yeah, you couldn't make it.
Oh, no, it was the benefit thing for the Eindhoven one.
That's right. That's right. It's the same day. But next time, come down and see if there's a good gig on, because you have some really good gigs in that pop bar.
Mm. Yes.
I mean, things like Bodega, play the pop bar, Bone Ingham.
It's just like an odd little place. Like, people play there that really shouldn't play there. It's got that
Bonnie
kind
Prince
of
Billy played in there, didn't he?
It.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's a really, really cool thing. So that's something I'm definitely doing this year, and also starting the new book.
Another one?
Yeah, I'm actually starting two. I've got
do
the right
one at a time, please.
The what?
One book at a time.
You're not meant to do that. I've joined the world of jobbing authors where everyone's doing their next two books.
Does it have a working title yet?
Agenda.
Like I start
it's called
doing
Agenda.
Now.
Yeah, yeah, you got to get on it, man. It's like before the world burns. Well, it won't. I don't think the world will burn. It's already started.
Working title is it?
Agenda.
Agenda.
Agenda, and it's about the Dutch music
I like
industry.
The sound of that one we were talking about.
Agenda. Yeah, because it's the same in Dutch and English. And yeah.
Did you get a new one for 2025?
The 2026.
It's called Limit of Strut.
I'm doing pins.
Yay!
It's going to be published as a game.
Excellent.
Oh. So I'm talking to a guy called Sheriff Danish who runs Pendle Press, and I'm thinking if we do it like in a box, a friend Chris Dawson told me, so we've put it in a box and just had everything loose and then you can make the stories in any way you want. I thought, that's a brilliant idea. It's absolutely brilliant. And there's, paste it, make it look like an old-fashioned Subutio box, but it'd be about this big. You can open it up with all the... Yeah, we small.
Should. It'll be about this big.
If it's ready, oh, we should do a podcast about us playing the game.
Oh yeah, it'd be absolutely fair. No, I'd love to do it. Yeah,
so an audio podcast about us playing a game.
Yeah, playing pins would be great. So so that's coming out in 2026, or we're planning to do it, and then Agenda will probably be 2026, 2027. So yeah, you just go. And
it's full on.
It is. Well, I mean, you know, you've got to do these things, haven't you? So. That's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually really looking forward to Peel Slowly and See. I'm really looking forward to seeing James Holden. I think that's going to be such a nice gig.
Yeah.
You're doing really well to get that, I have to say.
Yeah, we have to convince some Polish people, but it's a weird thing. Mm-hmm. He's the reason that he's playing there is because he's doing a project with a Polish guy.
Yeah, Vatros Infra. It was really, really good anyway.
And that's
brilliant.
How the business works. Mm. You get in touch with Polish people and you get James Holden in return.
Yeah.
Mad.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to doing less this year.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm not surprised after last year.
I need a little bit of, at least for a few weeks. I need a little bit of structure in my life a bit for come
to. So why are you going to Donna's party tonight with me?
Because you. I'm going to Donna's party again because I need to experience the VIP area once more.
Oh yeah.
And the world's most ridiculous toilet.
Yes.
I've seen some ridiculous toilets in my travels.
Yes.
That's really bad.
That
isn't
one's
it?
Really up there.
Yeah.
I'd say that is as ridiculous as the sink, which is about 6'2" off the ground in the old Verhulde Kruik in Leiden. So Leiden has, I would say, two of the most ridiculous toilets.
Yeah, but the Verhulde Kruik, actually the place has a name. This one doesn't, this place doesn't even have a name.
No.
It's a nameless bar.
But the Krauk, that way I remember standing at the urinal doing my business and someone washed his hands above my head. Now he literally reached over, like, so he's practically like rear-ending me and then he's washing his hands and then he went like that, at which case he like splashed his...
detritus.
His hand water all over my face, and I was like, I'm sorry, mate, you could have waited a minute.
Oh, God. No. But this one is like, how do we describe this toilet, gentlemen? I mean, we were all there on the same night. We walked in, we went to the VIP area with its palms and
you went in first and then convinced us to go to the toilet without...
You came out and went, Damien, stop, go in there.
Yes.
What? I went, just get in there. And I was like, what do you mean get in there? I mean, that you've just come out of the toilet. And I was like, you were quite vehement about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. But I was also quite worried because, like, get in there is not the kind of thing that friends normally shout at you when they're like going to the toilet. Right.
Especially not about if it's
concerns
the toilet. And then I
went, and you just went, just go and look, man. And I went, okay. I opened the door and there's a trough.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a trough along the right-hand wall.
And it's not a big space.
No, it's not a very big space. It's essentially shoulder width wide. It's like the width of me.
Yeah.
And it's probably 6 foot deep. And 3 foot into the 6 foot deep next, this trough runs the whole length of the 6 foot.
It couldn't go the other way.
No.
It was impossible.
Yeah. But in the middle, there's a...
There's a toilet.
There's a toilet. There's a commode. But so you could... The other thing is there's no cubicle.
No.
So like if you need to do something...
Your bigs.
Mm-hmm. The facilities are there for you to flush certain things away.
Yes.
But you would be sitting facing a trough of piss. And not only that, there's no lock. There's no lock on the door at all.
No.
It's absolutely insane, isn't it? It's the weirdest toilet ever.
And the trough was full of like blood-stained handkerchiefs as well. It was a very odd place.
And there was a hole in the wall.
Yes.
Yeah.
At a certain height.
And if you think that's impressive, then we, Damien and myself, entered the VIP part.
VIP.
Which is a small area with two high chairs. And two tables. And a what is it?
A velvet rope.
A velvet rope before it. And that's the VIP.
Amazing.
Two 1960s white fancy chairs.
Yeah.
Four chairs.
Big mirror
two
as
white
well.
Tables.
Yeah.
And it was like, and it was literally like rubbed off. But it's like, it was like having a VIP area in like the public toilet. That was like, the bar doesn't deserve to have a VIP area at all.
No.
And by going there, you also installed yourself as the DJ for the night.
Yeah.
Mm.
And and there's lots of neon.
Yeah. And the most incredible clientele I've seen in a bar in a long time.
Yes.
Yeah, it's something else, isn't
there's
it?
There's some real like casualties in there.
Oh yeah.
And where are we going tonight, Richard?
We're going there.
Yay!
No, not because we want to, but of course we want to see Donna, who's leaving the Netherlands.
Only Donna would have that place as a place.
And have all the friends there.
Yeah, but it does work if you're going away to Benidorm. It fits that.
It's getting it ready.
It's the connection is perfect. This place could exist in Benidorm.
Yeah. That's true. Oh my God. So that's why I'm going to Channel Ground after 2 hours. I'm definitely going to go to the Channel Ground gig. It starts at 9, so come with us.
If you think of the characters that have come through this place, I mean, you've written about a fair few of them.
Yeah.
Oh, the characters,
it's,
yeah.
It's certainly a, like an amazing kind of collection of people that we've kind of run across in the past like 20 odd years and stuff. And it's just, there can't be another place like it.
No, I don't think so.
What's come through here.
No.
They're just the most...
Yeah, that's what we think now.
Hilariously bonkers people.
But we know that's it's going to happen one day. Mm. One day there will be something to top this.
I hope so. I mean, Stan Harrison came close. I enjoyed Stan being here.
I've said his phrase for the past few months every time I've gone out. What are you going to do today? I'm going to buff around in some taverns.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. God bless you, Stan, wherever you are. Well, he's in Bordeaux now, living the high life.
No. That moment of Stan entering the Pomerance was brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
He came in, he's like, oh, they play billiards here. I like that.
Yeah, well, I've finished my exams now. I think I'll just buff around in some taverns for the summer.
Classic, yeah. Oh. Amazing. God bless him.
Buff around some taverns.
All right. Is it time for us to buff around some taverns?
I think it is. We have
to. Could well be. This has been probably the most rambling one we've ever done.
No,
but it's just nice.
It's the start of the new year.
Start of the new year. We don't know what's going on.
We need to get into the rhythm again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Again, like we ever had a rhythm.
Yeah, well, we did. It's noise and sound.
Noise and sound.
Yes. Then we have a team.
All right.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, it is. It's nice having a good time.
Yes.
And until next time.
Until next time. All the best. Take care.
Bye-bye.
The future does not exist.